The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, along with Steve Elkins down there in Florida. And I met this guy, Dave Gaharry, a couple of weeks ago down in southern Texas here when we had that little expose thing. And this has to do with the movie that's they're getting the funding for it. He was a submariner in the U.S. Navy, but he's on this track for a full-length feature film on the USS Liberty. He writes about retired Air Force. Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and Pentagon whistleblower Karen Kwiatkowski. Folks, she was a host on this network for a while, who exposed a neoconservative coup, and a hijacking of the Pentagon by the neocons serving Israel's interests. Sat down with Dave to reflect on the false flag terror attacks that changed the course of this country, clearly for the worse. Now, she retired back in 2003 after a distinguished military career, was at one time assigned to the NSA, eventually becoming a speechwriter for the agency's director. Upon leaving the NSA, she served as an analyst in the Pentagon's Near East and South Asia Directorate and doesn't for a minute subscribe to the U.S. government's 9/11 conspiracy theory. Uh-oh. I believe the commission failed to deeply examine the topic at hand, failed to apply scientific rigor to its assessment of events leading up to and including 9/11. Failed to produce a believable and unbiased summary of what happened, failed to fully examine why it happened, and even failed to include a set of unanswered questions for future research. It is as a scientist that I have the most trouble with in the official government conspiracy theory, mainly because it does not satisfy the rules of probability or physics. The collapse of the World Trade Center buildings clearly violate the laws of probability and physics. Now, she was at work at that day in the world's largest office building. Well, what's that? The Pentagon. She said, I was at the Pentagon. I was not in the part that was immediately impacted, but I feel like since I was there on that day and since I was in the Air Force, where was the normal Air Force response in the face of the hijacked airplanes? Now, she referenced something, and I didn't draw the corollary here, Steve. But
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I remember when this happened with Payne Stewart. I do remember this. Good stuff.
Well, I didn't remember it until I read it in her article. But Kwiatkowski referenced the October 25th, 1999 crash of a Learjet carrying a professional golfer, Payne Stewart, and five others that was set to fly from Orlando, Florida to Dallas. After losing cabin pressure and incapacitating all aboard due to lack of oxygen, the jet failed to turn toward Dallas and continued on for nearly 4 hours and 1,500 miles before running out of fuel over South Dakota and crashing into a field. Unlike any other hijacked jets on 9/11, this one was intercepted several times. On the first interception, U.S. Air Force F-16 Fighting Falcon test pilot from Elgin Air Force Base was ordered to intercept. The pilot made several unsuccessful attempts to communicate with Stewart's jet and completed a thorough visual investigation before breaking formation and proceeding to an Illinois Air Force base. The second interception consisted of two Falcons from the Oklahoma Air National Guard who were ordered to intercept before breaking off to rendezvous with a tanker for refueling. The third interception, an escort saw two more Falcons from North Dakota, the Air National Guard, ordered to intercept before being forced to break off of their pursuit to land at local airports. The Learjet ran out of fuel and descended, resulting in a ground impact at nearly supersonic speeds, which left a crater 42 feet long by 21 feet wide by 8 feet deep. That's the normal kind of response in a domestic air incident like that, Kwiatkowski explained. And, of course, we didn't have anything like that on 9/11. She recounted the faulty intelligence she witnessed being cooked up by the Pentagon's now-defunct Office of Special Plans for an invasion after 9/11. What they were doing, and I want you to pay close attention to this, folks, because she was there. What they were doing was ginning up the war against, they hoped, Iran and Iraq at the same time. Iraq was the one that they really planned to invade and wanted to, but there was no justification for it. What they were doing was to sell a war that nobody wanted, that nobody needed, that really wasn't justified by any national security means. And the way they did it was disinformation and taking over the intelligence. They created their own intelligence. They funneled it through the arteries of the intelligence system. And, of course, leaking it to the newspapers and the media, ultimately to propagandize the whole American public. So they wanted a war, and they got one. These neocons who hijacked the U.S. foreign policy believed in a muscular foreign policy, in particular one that would do the work, I think, of Israel, certainly in the Middle East, she continued. Take the hits for Israel, help work with Israel as if Israel was joined at the hip with the United States. In terms of policy, which it is not, we got to watch the formation of this organization and its hand-picked people, political appointees, people with no military background to speak of, but plenty of agenda. And you put that together with the right rank and the right access to the mainstream media in this country, and voila, you have a war. The war designers are the worst kinds of traitors. There are a lot of people very uncomfortable with saying whatever they have to say to get what they want, said Kwiatkowski. Well, in government, when they lie, people die. The reporter asked if the United States is a Zionist-occupied territory. Says, I think that's fair to say about Washington, D.C. The Congress certainly is. Our congressmen, they don't really owe allegiance, for the most part, to the people that voted for them. I would say that's a mouthful from somebody that was on the ground, that knows the inner workings, and has had the guts to step outside of that comfortable little envelope and let people know exactly what was going on.
I agree. I was very impressed when I wrote read that. I'm very familiar with her writing. She did a video, a documentary, Bush Family Fortunes. I remember that. And I was very impressed with her then. And she was still in the military. Actually, she just got out of the military when she did that. Mm-hmm. But very sharp lady. You need to get her back on this network, or at least get her on your show for an interview. This
well, awesome I put stuff. I put out the call and hoping to hear Good. Back from her soon. Yeah. It takes a stretch. Now, folks have got to understand something. It takes a stretch for anybody that's in the military, or law enforcement for that matter, because they've all been propagandized as well, but specifically in the military. You don't speak ill of Israel. As a matter of fact, you don't speak of them at all, because that's a little above your pay grade, and what the hell do you know? You're just being ordered to go over there and do the killing for this country, for the Greater Israel Project, but, you know, don't speak about it. It's above your pay grade. Nothing to see here.
You know, John, she made some great observations. The Payne Stewart thing, you're right. Protocols were not followed. They could have done a lot of things. They just kind of let everything go and allowed this thing to happen. And the Payne Stewart, I remember the Payne Stewart case big time, because Payne Stewart was a fabulous golfer. He was the only golfer out there who wore knickers. And he stood out. I mean, saw Payne Stewart out there with the knickers, and you go, hey, that's Payne Stewart. Yeah. But you're right. They sent up people to try to interject, to say, hey, what's going on up here? And found out the pilot was out. Everybody was out. And they followed the plane, and they tried several times. And she made an excellent point there. This could have happened, and they didn't. We know Dick Cheney called him back and said, nope, don't do it. Let it go. What,
who was the mayor of New York at the time? Wasn't it Rudy Giuliani?
It was Rudy.
Hmm. So we had Rudy Giuliani, mayor of New York, and we had this months-long setup to blow these buildings up. Three of them, by the way, folks. Blow three of these buildings up, and nobody caught even a whisper of something that was a little amiss.
Right.
And when I saw Giuliani starting to saddle up next to Trump, I thought, you know what? Something really smells here. I don't like the fact that this guy, yeah, Giuliani, that's not Jewish, folks, but, you know, what the hell? I don't know if he doesn't wear a red yarmulke around the house when nobody sees him. I don't know. But I found that to be highly suspicious. You know, I mean, this thing has never been vetted. The only thing you get is the yearly propaganda on the anniversary date, like we did for years with Oklahoma City. And we know what was wrong with that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're not allowed to question it, too. If we question it, we are conspiracy theorists. We're supposed to buy into the lie. No.
Well, Steve, if it's not asked in public on one of these damn news shows, you know, it's like the old thing, if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it really make a sound?
Right.
If nobody asks the question, well, it's like it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the narrative, like it or not.
Do you realize how many intelligence failures you had to have this thing kick off and how it just exploded everywhere? Everybody decided, I'm not going to do my job today. I'm not going to do this. We have protocols in place. I'm not going to follow protocol. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to. How many intelligence failures that existed in the whole 9/11 investigation that were never saying, wait a minute here. First thing would have come out of my mind if I was on the commission said, man, you guys are a bunch of screw ups. You have protocols you didn't follow. Things happen and you didn't do this for your backup and your protocol. You just sat back, you're twiddling your thumbs, doing nothing. I mean, it's quite obvious there was something going on and you decided not to do anything about it.
And what was the Twin Towers absolutely loaded with?
Information against Enron.
Okay, but more than that, there was something that those buildings were made of and insulated with that it would have cost billions, and I mean billions of dollars to remove this stuff from the Twin Towers. Right. And Christine, what the hell was her name from Connecticut that they stuck her in a position? She came out shortly after the Twin Towers and said that, oh, no, there's everything's safe here. It's safe to move around the area. No, it wasn't. These people were breathing in this asbestos. Many of these folks have died of cancers, specifically lung cancers, because guess what they were breathing in? Almost to the point of dying because they couldn't get enough oxygen into their lungs because it was loaded up with what? Asbestos-loaded dust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christine Todd, wasn't it?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Mesothelioma and all kinds of asbestos cancers. Not even talking about the radiation, too. You remember how long the fires, the molten steel for months,
yep.
I think it was 2 months of molten steel, the firefighters said their boots would actually melt if they got too close. Now, I don't know about you, but I know an office fire can't burn that hot, that 2 months later my boots are going to melt. So we know there was something more going on with the heat of this fire. I think it was a nuclear reaction, personally, my speaking, but an office fire wouldn't do that, John.
Well, radiation would be something that could be readily detectable. And
oh, yes.
If there was radiation and people had radiation poisoning, those mm-hmm. kind of symptoms are kind of unmistakable. So I have a tendency mm-hmm. to believe there was nothing nuclear there. But, hey, you know, it's just good an opinion as the next.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
By the way, what you're not hearing in the news?
Mueller investigation.
No. Better than that. Anything to do with Syria.
Oh, yeah.
We're hearing the rhetoric still on Iran, but Syria, that's pretty much off the news rotation. Because of why? Well, Bashar al-Assad, elected in his own country by the majority of their people, told the United States, no. Said yes to Russia, will you help us? And they said yes. Well, the good news for Bashar al-Assad and the Syrian people says the northwestern province of Idlib will finally return to government control along with the other territories, which are still in the hands of foreign-backed militants. That's a nice way of saying it, isn't it? The position of the Syrian state is clear. This province and other Syrian territories remaining under the control of terrorists will return to the Syrian state control, Assad said, adding that the deal over Idlib was concluded as a temporary measure to prevent bloodshed. Now, here's a guy that knows how to make a deal as well. The Syrian leader made the remarks in a meeting of the Central Committee of the ruling Al-Baath Arab Socialist Party in the capital, Damascus, on Sunday. See, they're kind of having the same problem there as we're having here. Saying that all the fuss about Idlib stems from the fact that it is a fateful thing for them because the Syrians' victory in it will lead to the failure of their plans. The deal agreed to last month between Turkey and Syria close ally Russia provides for the establishment of a U-shaped buffer zone around Idlib that would be free of both terrorists and heavy weapons. Under the Idlib agreement, Turkey and Russia would carry out coordinated military patrols on the borders of the buffer zone. You know, those are the safe spots that we heard about before, in the bid to detect and prevent provocation by third parties. Now, all militants in the demilitarized zone, which surrounds Idlib and also parts of the adjacent provinces of Aleppo and Hama, must pull out their heavy arms by Wednesday, and Tafiri groups must withdraw by October 15th. That's in a few days. Elsewhere in his remarks, Assad stressed that the Syria's enemies would ramp up their attempts to drain the Arab country militarily, politically, economically, and socially as Damascus progresses towards victory, predicting that it would pose internal challenges which are no less serious than war itself. Now, Syria's heading towards the rehabilitation of some segments which incubated chaos and terrorism, so these segments will not be loopholed, as stated here, through which Syria will be targeted in the future. It is estimated between 10,000 and 15,000 members of different factions of armed groups which Syria, Russia, and Turkey consider to be terrorists, probably the rest of the world as well, except the United States, are active in the volatile province, which is home to around 3 million inhabitants. Now, some 60% of the Idlib province itself is said to be controlled by members of the so-called Hayat Tahrir al-Sham Tafiri terrorist group. Jeez, can I put any more words in there? Which is a coalition of different factions of terror outfits largely composed of Jabhat Fatah al-Sham, formerly known as al-Nursa Front. See how they keep changing the names there? Isn't that wonderful? Now, Russia believes that a buffer zone would help stop attacks from Idlib-based militants on Syria army positions. And you know what else I noticed didn't happen?
What's that?
The White Helmets claiming that, Assad is using chemical weapons against his own people.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and you know why that is? Because the word got out on the street. It was BS, and they're going to try it again. Now, we got a lot of parts of this government that people are questioning the veracity or the honesty of them. Some of the biggest lies. I mean, folks, here's the subject matter. 17 years, trillions of dollars, millions dead, countless soldiers. I don't even know the correct number of U.S. personnel that have been killed in this 17-year-old free-for-all. But this is the one subject matter that they will never bring up, was the start of this to begin with.
Right.
You know, this wasn't a righteous fight against communism like they sold for Vietnam or the Cuban Missile Crisis. Oh, my gosh, the communists down there putting in Russian nuclear. Oh, gosh, you know, we're all going to be destroyed. But they kept going back to the communists. You know, here's the threat. They can't do that in the Middle East. It's just this ongoing 17-year-old bloodbath, well-funded, well-orchestrated, and just about all of it is a damned lie. We'll be back in three. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al.
By the way, the capper to that story, Steve, was Syria has been gripped by foreign-backed militancy since March of 2011. The Syrian government says the Israeli regime and its Western and regional allies are aiding Takfiri, terrorist groups wreaking havoc in the country. But nobody would report on that.
Yeah. Mike? Hey, you mentioned the number of soldiers that possibly died from U.S. soldiers, and I just looked up here. From 2003 to 2018 on statistics here, it gives a year-by-year breakdown. 4,541 soldiers, U.S. soldiers, have died in the conflict so far, not to mention the 88,330 that committed suicide in 11 years and 136,510 in 17 years. So, a lot of people have died. But, you said millions and on the other side. And, yes, yep. Millions of innocent people have died because, as Karen Kowalski said, a lie. You're right.
Yep. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. I was listening to your conversation, and it kind of reminded me of a conversation I had with a friend of mine. He was breaking down. He was in the military, and basically boot camp is trauma-based mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And the police departments went over to Israel to get more trauma-based mind control from the IDF. So the vast majority of people becoming police officers now kind of break into three simple groups. There's the group that just want to bust people's heads and they're kind of psychopaths. The second group are the guys who can justify things because they're probably secular and they had to do what they had to do and they don't hold themselves really to account. And that third group are the people that have a conscience. They get back here, they're devastated, so they go on these SSRIs, and those guys are the ones killing themselves.
Yeah.
So for the bottom line, I mean, for the past 17 years, we've got this loop going between military police, military police, military police, and it's starting to it's showing up on the streets really clearly. And I was just wondering, I mean, how do you break a cycle like that?
Good question, John. Yeah, we had Stuart Rhodes on here, and he wants us to make friends with them. I disagree. I'm kind of fearful of these guys. They're not the old school, the guys we used to look up to when they were kind and nice and smiled at you. These guys are very militarized. The crew cut haircuts, the dark glasses, the military garb, the boots. I'm not going to approach these guys. Last time I tried that, the guy actually made a stance like he was going to pull his gun and told me to stop right then and there. I'm not going to mess with this guy. I don't know.
He's going to take you out.
No, obviously it was in a school. We were talking about problems in our neighborhood, and everybody was there talking about, you know, issues. And this guy, actually, he had a stance on me. I was like, oh, my God, he thinks I'm threatening. This is serious stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, and he was either brainwashed or he's on SSRIs or he's one of those psychopaths. And as a society, when we have these people running around generating revenue and good patriots like us, if we want to try to have a conversation with them, I don't see that happening.
Me neither.
Mm-mm. Any thoughts, John?
Well, you've always got to try to plant the seed and see if it's in fertile ground. If the seed jumps up and threatens to kill you, well, walk away from it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, everybody's got to hear the message. And and I think there's something that's being missed here, guys. You know, I've planted a lot of seeds over the years, and I've had people come back to me. Many of them have not, but some of them had the courage to do it, and they sheepishly came back and said to me, and said, well, it looks like you were right, you know. So I'm all for planting the seeds. I don't care if it's not fertile ground and it doesn't grow. That's not my job. My job was to deliver the message. So I'm not going to water torture guys and put them on boards and tie them down and, you know, threaten to kill them if they don't see things my way. But when you plant that seed, sometimes it does take root, and it shows its fruition years later.
Yeah.
True, and sorry, Steve. I hope if any officers or any of those people who are listening wonder why the public views them that way, well, it's because we kind of figured out what happened to them. And I feel bad. I mean, it's horrible to be trauma-based mind control and to killing little brown people for oil and stuff like that. And I'm thankful I didn't take that path, but they got to know that we're actually onto the game and we understand it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's all I've got.
All righty.
I had an encounter today with a police officer, and you know what, John? This is just the opposite of what I've been running into lately. This guy was really nice. He was an older guy, but he was nice, and he didn't feel threatened. I talked to him, and I went and filled some paperwork out for my concealed permit. And he was nice. I like, gosh, why can't there be more of you guys around? I mean, this is like a dinosaur, I guess. I don't know. He wasn't all that old, but he seemed very friendly, very nice. He wasn't.
Because
you know,
he's not in the mold of the corporate Keystone Coffer cops that are out there to fleece the public, you know, for revenue. You know, he's of the old school or grayback or mossback.
Right.
You know, that was a different time. You know, I was talking to you over the weekend and telling you that I'd had encounters. I when I was a kid living in my little hometown, mm-hmm. There were no bad cops.
No, me neither.
There were no bad cops, and a lot of these guys, I mean, I suppose I tell sometimes too much on air, but the Sandusky police always thought it was fun to screw with me, and they expected me to screw with them back. And it was a game. But it was never mean-spirited. Right. It was never, you comply or I'm going to beat you to death or I'm going to throw you in jail. It was, they were bored, I was bored, so we'd screw with each other. And I never ran across a bad cop. Holy mackerel. All right, let's take the break. 800-313-9443. By the way, the same 5G network uses the same EMF waves as Pentagon crowd control systems.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You know, in Japan, guess what they're doing in Japan, folks? They're cutting off all the vaccines for their children over there.
Smart.
Yeah, very smart. And I want to get around to that. But I also wanted to tell people about this 5G network that is coming online, not only in this country, but around the world. You see, 3G or 4G wasn't good enough. We got to have 5G. Yeah. Well, the global rollout of the 5G is well underway, as we soon may see new small cell towers near all schools, on every residential street, dispersed throughout the natural environment, and pretty much everywhere. But the safety of this technology is in serious question, and there is a raging battle to stop the taxpayer-funded implementation of 5G. The new cell network uses high-band frequency, radio frequency, millimeter waves to deliver high bandwidth data to any device within line of sight. Today's cellular and Wi-Fi networks rely on microwaves, a type of electromagnetic radiation utilizing frequencies up to 6 gigahertz, in order to wirelessly transmit voice or data. However, 5G applications will require unlocking a new spectrum bands in higher frequency ranges above 6 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz and beyond. Now, they're utilizing sub-millimeter and millimeter waves to allow ultra-high rates of data to be transferred in the same amount of time as compared with previous deployments of microwave radiation. One of the ways the 5G will enable this is by tapping into new unused bands at the top of the radio spectrum. These high bands are known as millimeter waves and have been recently been opened up by regulators for licensing. They've largely been untouched by the public since the equipment required to use them effectively has typically been expensive and inaccessible. Now, among the many potential problems with exposure to 5G radio waves are issues with the skin, which is interesting when you consider that this technology is already being used in the military for crowd control purposes. This kind of technology, which in many ways which is in many of our homes, actually interacts with human skin and eyes. The shocking finding was made public via Israel's research studies that were presented at an international conference on the subject last year. There's Dr. Ben Ishai of the Department of Physics at Hebrew University. He goes through how human sweat ducts act like a number of helical antennas when exposed to these wavelengths that are put out by devices that employ 5G technology. The U.S. military developed they call this non-lethal crowd control, folks, but it is anything but non-lethal. And they deployed this system called the Active Denial System, the ADS. It uses radio frequency millimeter waves in the 95 gigahertz range to penetrate the top 1/64th of an inch layer of your skin on the targeted individual, instantly producing an intolerable heating sensation that causes them to flee. Now, this technology is becoming ubiquitous in top world militaries, demonstrating how genuinely effective this radio frequency energy can be at causing harm to humans and anything else. Now, the fight over the 5G is heating up at the community level, and awareness of this important issue is spreading fast. And we're going to put Steve, I didn't put the story up. I'm going to make sure that this is up before the broadcast ends today. Folks, let me just put it to you this way. If the militaries of the world are using this for crowd control and they claim that it's non-lethal, just it's up lethal. The voltage. what does a microwave do? It cooks you from the inside out. Well, Papa's got a brand new bag here. We can cook you from the outside in.
John, I had a call over the weekend on this 5G.
Did you?
And I had Eric Windheim on your show when I covered for you that one time. I had him on twice talking about all this cell tower stuff and the 5G. Maybe it's about time to have him back. And he's very, really intelligent and knowledgeable on this whole thing. But I got a call over the weekend from Orlin Kurla, who's an author I know out in Santa Rosa area. And she actually wrote a book on it. She's going to send me the book. I'm going to read about it. Sacramento's already got all these little mini cell towers already up on their stop signs everywhere you can look. And she basically said that they're going to tack it in on an omnibus bill all over the country, everywhere. And basically California is the test pilot state for the G5. And everybody else is going to start noticing these things. They didn't even know it existed. It's an omnibus bill. Been signed. Nobody even saw it. It's signed. It goes into effect. And Verizon is going to be on your street, up and down your street with these little mini towers. And yes, let's watch what happens with the deterioration of health. It's going to happen.
Now, generally, these microwaves are on cell towers, and they're easily seen by the public. You can't miss them. They look like huge, oversized home stereo speakers. I guess that'd be the proper analogy for it or description. But these, no, they've got to be dispersed far and wide. So there's not going to be this, I'm having a bad cell day at my house. No, chances are the little box will be out hanging on a pole outside your house. And Steve, there has been study after study. This happened out in California. Forgive me, I can't remember all the details to this, but there was one apartment complex that had the microwave transmitters and relay tower on top of their roof of their apartment complex. Guess what everybody in that damn building came down with? Cancer.
Right.
So, folks, as we're moving through this, you know, remember my statement earlier watching film from the 1910s and, you know, whatever the case, that we had no fat people? We didn't have a lot of mystery diseases, cancer, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. you know, but more and more and more people pop up with pancreatic cancer. It's, you're okay one day, the next day doctor's telling you, well, you got 4 months to live. You know, it's stage four. There's nothing we can do for you. This is scary stuff because a lot of this stuff is being taxpayer funded as well. We're paying for our own demise and our own ill health.
You're right.
John in Northern Michigan. Hello, John.
Great topic, John. I've talked to my special forces friend who's since passed. That was telling me that those towers are going to be used for weapons back in the 90s. That was McNeil. You met him up here. I can't think of his first name now, but
I remember the guy. He was a pretty handsome, strapping young man when I met him.
Yeah, he was an assassin. He was supposed to take out Noriega, but Bush Sr. went down there and invited him back to the United States instead. He told me all that because I asked him about that, and then I was talking to Dane Wigginton from Northern California, and he told me that the towers are using 10 times the amount of energy that they need to send out signals for the cell phones, and they're using that for their geoengineering factor too. So it's a scary thing because this 5G is quite damaging to many things too, not just us as humans, but to all of the wildlife and the trees and everything that is affected by frequencies. So great topic. I just wanted to interject something that I heard today from a gentleman named Jordan Maxwell. Are you familiar with who Jordan Maxwell is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he something came up about masculinity, and he talked about a book that it was a legal term. Have you ever heard of a legal style magazine, a manual on legal style?
No.
Words?
No.
Pardon me?
No.
It's called the Legal Style Magazine, or you can find it under the Red Book, a manual for legal style. What it does is it has all of these words that mean something different in legalese. And he said that when you go to apply for your driver's license or anything that asks whether you're male or female and check it, you know, what you think you are, he says you are identifying yourself as an animal because male and female in legalese just is a term used for animals. He said for the human, it's supposed to be masculine or feminine. So that I thought I'd share with you. And you can find these books online. I'm looking at one right now, the Red Book, a manual on legal style. And it's you can buy them used, or these are like $5 I see online, or a new one.
Interesting.
But it's what any of these people, these researchers, use to develop their arguments legal terms.
All right. Well, I appreciate
great stuff,
that.
But yeah, this 5G is were you able to get a hold of Dane at all, by the way?
No, I haven't tried yet.
Actually, I did.
You
did? I got a hold of him. Yeah. And he is booked up solid. They're going to have their rescheduling of their convention. They had it actually blocked or stopped, actually, because of the fires in Reading. And supposedly October 20th or 22nd, I believe, they're going to have that geoengineering, basically the climate thing, convention sometime this month. So, but after he said, I'm booked up.
He told me it was the 20th in Reading. California at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, he said, I can't be on your show for a little while, but either John will get him or I'll get him. But he's a nice guy. I talked to him for about a half an hour or so.
Did you get a chance to ask him why he quit referring to the chemtrails as chemtrails?
Yeah, he actually, we had a long talk, and he said, politicians, if you go up to a politician and you say chemtrail, they won't talk to you at all. You're a kook.
Right.
You're a nutcase. So you have to go at a different angle, and he's gone at a different angle on it.
What do we call it?
Geoengineering. He said they'll talk to you on geoengineering. They will not talk to you. You start saying chemtrails, and they say you're a nutcase, and they'll walk away from. They won't help you. So geoengineering is the new term.
And he wants to get people that have not been introduced to it properly to come on board. He mentioned academia and others He right. said that are on one side of, you know, that don't have a clue as to what's going on, but they don't want to hear about chemtrails.
Yeah.
And so he likes to use the right terms and also facts, but he says he's talked to some people up in high levels of the military and has associations with them. So
yeah.
I would say he's got something to offer.
I think he does, too.
All right. Okay, appreciate it, John. Thanks.
God bless you, too.
Hey, John, think about this, this 5G. The radio waves coming out, the EMF on this, you know, we're going to probably see more glioblastomas. We're going to have a whole population of glioblastomas looking like John McCain, and you can have your claw and have your glioblastoma. Think about that.
Boy, the threat of the new guy sitting out in Arizona that would love to come on with me Mondays. This went on. What are you breathing air down there that's been tainted or something? Or
I'm just in this humorous mood. I don't know.
Ah.
Glioblastoma looked like John McCain and then your claw. Think about that. That's scary.
Yeah.
No, this is scary stuff, though. Actually, I am going to talk to Eric Wendheim on this. He is sharp. I had him on twice. It took over for you. And he knows his stuff. I'm sure he's all over this. And like I said, it's going to happen. We're not going to be able to stop this one. And just wait for the health effects. The health problem's going to pop up.
We're not going to be able to stop it, so we got to wait till we drop dead?
Looks that way.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just going to be slid in, and we're not going to – you know, the telecommunications companies are very powerful. Verizon, they are powerful people. They're as powerful as your pharmaceuticals, for God's sakes. And, yes, they're going to push this thing down our throats.
You know, I would have no problem with dumping cell phones. Mm-hmm. I'd have no problem doing that at all.
Wouldn't either.
Going back to hardline, and if somebody really wanted, how were the beepers? How were they activated? Was that a radio wave that did that?
You know, I have no clue on that one.
I don't either. It's so old, and the technology is ancient compared to the modern technologies. But I'd be more than happy to go back to landlines, and if I'm not here, my answering machine will answer the phone. Or I don't have the answering machine on, and you don't get a return call.
Yeah.
Geez, it would slow things down to a comfortable level as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to remove the whole hardwire thing that you can't have. You know, and that's what the problem is. If we want to communicate and they eliminate that technology, we're stuck with what they give us. That's our problem.
Brent in Wisconsin. Hello, Brent.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Interesting program this evening, and enjoying it very much. Say, that's really something to look forward to look like Senator No Name, huh?
Yeah.
To my knowledge...
Steve, I had something I've been wanting to call in all evening. There's different subjects that you touched upon, but what really got me going and dialing on the phone is when you said you were getting your concealed carry permit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went today and signed up for that whole thing. Yep.
Go ahead, Brent. Give it to him.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, go ahead.
About every month, we class of 65 meets for breakfast. About a year and a half, I guess, ago it's been now. One of them asked me, Brent, do you have your concealed carry permit? I said, sure do. It's called the Second Amendment. That ended the conversation right there.
Yeah.
Of course, we know there will be no judge that would address that or anything like that.
No, and Brent, and you understand the basis of this, that you're being granted a privilege that can be revoked at any time.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Isn't it something?
Not a right given by God.
Yeah.
It's a privilege given by the state.
I agree.
Yeah. That happens to be the more modern tradition of self-protection. I don't think God came out and bought stock in Smith & Wesson or ordered it into existence. But
originally it was swords and knives, daggers, slingshots, things of that nature.
Weapons of the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys keep up the good work. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
God bless.
And thank you for underscoring what I actually told Steve Elkins over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good.
I'm just trying to be legal-like here. If I have to pull it, I don't want to end up and say...
Legal?
Well, no, I just don't want to be in a court of law to say, well, yeah, the guy was going to rob you and he's a drug dealer and this and that. And yeah, you had every right, I mean, to protect yourself. And yeah, you shot him and killed him.
So
but, you know, you don't have this little
permit. What if the state realizes somebody in some agency somewhere says this guy does this radio programming on this Republican network and... You know, we should revoke his permit. And if you ever need, and I'm sure at that time you'd, you know, give up carrying that thing. And would you much rather be judged by 12 or carried by 6?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. All right. Ken in Fort Worth.
Yeah, hey, Google 55,000 indictments now.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
no.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
No. No.
I'm just a reporter, John.
Okay.
Get your knickers on or not?
Oh, well, they're not in a knot. I'm quite relaxed.
Hey, they think you're an animal. You know that.
Who?
Who? Anybody with legal stuff. I get the little envelope. I send it back with my dog. I put, I'm not an animal. I don't live in a zone. Don't live in a metro. I produce my articles in corporation. I'm not a corporation. They think you're an animal.
Oh.
Tell them you ain't.
Yeah. No, I got you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Later.
All right. I just got a text, hold on here a second. Let me read this from Mr. T. He says, pagers worked on VHF, very high frequency. Now, you might remember that VHF, UHF on your television.
Right.
And that's when they had rotary crank dials. And then as they progressed, they went into UHF radio, and then it was also satellite pagers in the 90s and close to the 2000s. He said, I think satellite pagers are still in use. I know doctors that still have them. So the VHF and the UHF, very high frequency. Notice how technically savvy they were by using very high frequency. And, well, what's higher than very high? Well, it's ultra high frequency. There you go. Yeah, but now we got the 5G that can cook you from a distance, depending on the power output of the transmitter. This is bad stuff. No debate, nothing. And you're right about the telecom companies, you know, the ones that keep lying to your face going, we don't turn over our information to the government. Right. They've been caught repeatedly lying. Now, we either have a First Amendment in this country or we don't. And I don't give a damn what corporation you are and how powerful you may think you have or how many zeros are in your bank accounts. I don't care. You know, Steve, this is going to be unstoppable if we can't uncouple the corporation working with the corporation and leaving the individual out, because we all know this, folks. They don't give a crap about you, although... They'll be happy to sell you their product for as long as you live. If not, don't worry. You die, we make more.
Yeah. You know, John, when you mentioned articles like this, you just realize as a citizen how powerless you are to stop those who want to make money and are willing to risk people's health in order to get that money.
Imagine what it would be like if we had an open and free press in this country. Imagine what that would be like, folks. Imagine. Wow. Yeah. By the way, let me finish off with this one. Is that another caller? Who is it? Okay, Bob, in California, you got a couple of minutes. Go.
Well, gosh, only my mom called me Bob. I was always called by Robert. But, well, you guys were talking about the Second Amendment there. Do you realize how bad it's gotten in California for the Second Amendment?
Yep, I do.
It's some ugly business. You know, I'm a constitutional, gun-toting, Christian, conservative Republican. I think that puts me in like four stages of danger out here in California, doesn't it?
No, you're an extinct. You're right up there with the dodo bird.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that I've got a front row seat to Armageddon when it comes to that. Yeah.
Well, okay. Notice I didn't call you Bobby.
Thank you.
Okay, but you know,
only my Grammy called me that.
Oh, okay. Mom and Grammy. It was Bob and Bobby. But hey,
yeah.
Let me ask you something. Do you have any hooks
in
your
butt? Unless I was in trouble.
Do you have any hooks in your butt? Is there any Velcro that's sticking you to the state of California? And what the hell are you still doing there?
Oh, no, none whatsoever, except for one big detail. I threw away all my ID about a decade ago, actually. I threw away my Social Security card, everything. I haven't worked a job in 10 real years as far as W-2 is concerned. I've went out and entrepreneured and, you know, gainfully employed myself and just stuck out of the system and did my own thing. But as far as a past record, I've got no felonies, I've got no jail time, I've got no kinds of burrs, as you'd call them. But at the same time, I'm very concerned. I mean, I see what's going on in the country. I've been living out on a sailboat for the last 12 years, and I've found a place to really remove myself from what's going on. But you know, it's going to catch up with me eventually. I mean, the system is spreading wide and far.
Robert, I have one question for you, Robert. Since you're living on a sailboat, how are you dodging those docking fees, and that if you want to live on your boat and you have to dock at a marina, how are you dodging that one?
Very good ground tackle. That's anchor gear. I choose to just throw out a hook somewhere where nobody's going to bother me. I make sure that my anchor light is on. I make sure that if the Coast Guard wants to come up to my boat, that I've got my life vest and my throw device and flares and, you know, all the safety devices. And I've had no problems, except for on election day on 2012. They tossed my whole boat. They threw my food out on the floor. They didn't want me to vote, I guess.
Well, they did.
That's a story for a different time.
Yeah, they did something similar. I was actually on a cigarette boat with Alex Jones.
I like the guy. He's a little bit emotional for me, but I like the guy. He's a good guy.
Okay, well, that wasn't the point of the story, Bobby. Okay, I'm just teasing you here, but we had two Coast Guard boats with 50 caliber mounted machine guns that were manned that came out from behind that little island, the Statue of Liberty, and this was during the 2004 Republican National Convention. By the way,
that was an election year as well.
Yeah, so if you're in California, I'm surprised that they don't have to make you take a license to operate a boat out there.
Not yet. I'm sure it's coming.
It's coming.
Well, wait a minute. Your boat is registered, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm both registered and documented.
Okay.
There's a difference. I don't know if you know the ramifications of the details of each. I won't get into it now. But
well, I was just wondering when you got your registration for your boat, the label, you know, the numbers for your boat itself, you did have to give some kind of identity, some kind of ID to get that, correct, or not?
Nope. Because there is no requirement currently in the state of California to have a captain's license to operate a privately owned vessel, there's no ID requirements at the DMV. I've never had a problem. Actually, I've had 7 boats in the last 12 years. You know, I've sold one to buy a little bigger one, or, you know, just done what I could to try to come up a little bit. I've never had a problem. Not yet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, Robert. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good night.
You too.
Yeah, learn something.
Yeah, but if anybody in California legislature is listening to this show, wait for the bill to be put on the hill for a vote next week.
Yeah, the tax guy will be floating up to his boat. We know where you are.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for us today, folks. Hey, please donate to this network. I'm not going to get all wrapped up in this stuff, but I got a call from the satellite company. Said you're 2 months down. Where's the payment? Otherwise, disconnect. Folks, support the network. We put all that money into the network for your listening pleasure and edification. What would this world be like without RBN? Uncompromised. Thank you, Steve Elkins.
Thank you, sir.
All righty.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest, my vision.
us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.